already. See there? Hallelujah. Confirmation. Or it could just have been a surge. Hallelujah. Turn, let me find there. I'm in Mark. Let me get to Luke 4. I want to share with you just for a few minutes about receiving from the anointing. Receiving from the anointing. God, this is how the kingdom of God operates. God anoints people with His Spirit. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
This is how the kingdom operates. God anoints people, regular, ordinary, everyday people like you and I. People, just people. He anoints them with His Spirit. Am I on? I'm not on? I am on. Okay. I can't hear myself, so I don't know. Hallelujah. There I am. Now, God anoints everyday, regular people just like you and I. Okay? God chooses to anoint people in different ways. Now, we all have what I call, the Bible calls, the believer's anointing. The believer's anointing. And we'll look at that in a moment. But God also calls people for different functions, different ministries, and within that function and ministry, He gives an anointing. And the anointing is what does the work, but it works through people. Are you listening?
Yes.
Now, even Jesus Himself operated this way as a man. Are you listening to me? Luke 4, have you found that yet? Jesus, you know the story, He's just returned from a time of temptation in the wilderness where He is completely and utterly triumphant over the enemy. And He comes back, He comes to His hometown, He picks up what we would call the Bible, the Scriptures. It says He found the place in Isaiah, and He read this, beginning in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has what? Anointed me. Notice, Jesus did what He did. Now listen carefully to this, because I don't want you to misunderstand it. Jesus did what He did in His earthly ministry by the anointing. Not because He was the unique Son of God. Are you listening to me? Hold your place right there. Let me read this something to you because you may misunderstand it. Turn to Philippians just a minute. Hold your place there because we're going to come right back. You know, sometimes I think, you know, and jump around for the sake of time, and I think, you know this, but maybe you don't. Philippians 2, verse 5, He said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the cross, to death, even death on the cross. One translation says that He emptied Himself. Another translation says He laid aside His divine power in glory. When Jesus came, born of a woman, He took upon Himself a human nature, without sin, but still a human nature. And until the time that He was anointed by the Holy Spirit at the River Jordan, He did no miracle. Remember it said at the wedding feast at Cana, remember that? It said that He turned, when the water was turned into wine, remember that? And it said this first miracle Jesus did. Why? Because Jesus emptied Himself when He became a man. He was still God, but He emptied Himself of divine attributes. You say, how can He do that? I have no idea. But the Bible says He did. He was still God. But yet He laid aside His omnipotence and His almighty power because Jesus, remember this, Jesus said, He said, I can do nothing of my own self. Whoa, wait a minute, Jesus, you're God. So I want you to understand that. So notice here, back in Luke, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. And then he begins to declare, this is what God's anointed me to do. Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing. So Jesus did what he did by the anointing that was upon him. Now, the reason this is important for us to understand is because, see, we've got this understanding about God that is partly true and partly not true. What partly we've got that is true is that God can do anything, and he can. That God is sovereign, and he is. But we have to understand the other half of that, and that is that when we receive from God, it's not just dependent on what God wants to do. If that were true, everybody would be saved, because the Bible says God's not willing that any should be should perish. Isn't that what he said? He's not willing that any should perish. Well, why isn't everybody saved? I mean, if it's just dependent on God's part, if it was just dependent on God's part, we'd have it made. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus said it's finished. The plan of redemption's finished. He bore the sins of the whole world. He paid the price for everybody. Then why isn't everybody saved? Same reason everybody's not healed. Same reason everybody's not set free. Same reason a lot of the blessings of God have not come into people's lives is what? Is because the other side of this is that we have to do something. We have to cooperate, and that cooperation the Bible calls faith. Not works, faith. Faith received from God. Faith draws upon the anointing. And so if we do not exercise faith, if we do not understand this, then it's never going to happen. Now, in the Old Testament, only three people were anointed. The king, the prophet, and the priest, the high priest. They had an anointing. Everybody else, there was no anointings. Everybody. So when God called somebody to do something, he anointed them. And when the prophet in the Old Testament, when they worked a miracle, when they did something that was miraculous, it was because of the anointing that was upon them. Are you listening? Now, if you go on and read in this incident, and I won't because of the time, and probably you're familiar with it, but let me just remind you, Jesus went on preaching to them, and he said, you're surely going to say to me this saying, he said, physician, heal yourself. The mighty miracles we've heard you do in Capernaum and other places, let's see you do one here. Come on. That was their attitude. Well, show us your stuff if you got it. We've been hearing all this stuff. You've been healing and open blinded eyes. Let's see, show us some of that stuff. But if you go on, at the end of it, it said that Jesus could there do no mighty work. And he marveled at their, what? Well, was Jesus less anointed in Nazareth? Did he just didn't have it that day? Stayed up too late? Didn't pray enough? Well, yet he had been opening blind eyes. He'd been cleansing lepers in other places. Why is it when he came to his hometown that nothing could be done there? One of the things is that the people saw him as Jesus who grew up down the block. Not Jesus anointed by God. Come on. That still is a problem today. See, people get really familiar with their pastor. We know all his faults and his shortcomings. Things he should have done, he didn't do. Things he did, he shouldn't have done. Come on. And so, we have a hard time receiving. That's why a lot of times, see, when you bring in another, a minister can come in and say the same things I said, and all of a sudden, it's like, wow. Man, he's great. Pastor, you need to have him in. I'm thinking, man, I've taught that about 20 times.
That's right.
What? Familiarity.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Will hinder you. Doesn't have to, but will hinder people from drawing on the anointing. Well, come on. Let's go on and read here. Verse 20. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him. It goes on down to verse 23. He said, surely you're going to say this, physician, heal yourself. Now notice in verse 24. He said, I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Uh-oh. See how hard it is to be a pastor? I have to stay with you year in, year out, and you get to know me so well. Come on. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath. Oh, wait a minute. He said, there are all kind of widows. We would say in Israel, we would say all kind of widows in the church. There are all kind of needs in the church. But who did he send? Who did he send the prophet to? To some lady who wasn't even saved over here. Come on. It's awful quiet in here. He said, and there were many in Israel with leprosy. Many needing healing. In the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them. How many believe Jesus knows what he's talking about? He said not one. Say not one. Not one. Not one was healed in all of Israel. They had a prophet sent to Israel. And nobody was healed through the prophet's ministry. Nobody. Nobody. I want to emphasize that. He said, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. He didn't even worship God. He was an idol worshiper. Oh, buddy. And they got to start, you know, and man, that religious spirit started rising up. Come on, look at here. And all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard it. What made them get mad? Because he's rebuking them for their unbelief. He's saying, you just like your ancestor was. Here I am, I'm Jesus, in your midst, anointed just like the prophet Elijah was, but just like they wouldn't see and believe on the anointing that was on the prophet, you won't either, therefore you're not going to get anything. And man, they got hot. And you know that spirit's still around. How dare you say you're anointed? I say it because God said it. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Sure. Doesn't this sound like, was Jesus being egotistical when he got up and said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me? Well, Jesus. Now we don't be humble, Jesus. What are you bragging? Come on. And see, we get that in the church. Oh, don't say. Oh, he said he's anointed. Well, if I'm not, I don't need to be doing what I'm doing. And if you're not, you don't need to be doing what you're doing. Whatever ministry the Lord's called you to, you should be anointed to do it. Otherwise, you're doing it in your own strength. Amen. And so we need to understand this. See, we need to learn that we have to draw from the anointing. Get past the person. Get past the personality. Get past, because it doesn't matter. I mean, listen, if God called you tomorrow to pastor this church instead of me, guess what? You've got a couple of flaws too. Isn't that right? It wouldn't matter who you set in here. You know? And you know what? Here's human nature. If next week I was out of here and next week you had a new pastor in, there'd be some, you know, that would bless that new pastor's heart. Oh, Pastor Norris, he was just the greatest. Oh, he was just, you know. And then there'd be some say, well, I'll tell you what, he bless God, he couldn't hardly get in out of the rain. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been in ministry for 30 years. Come on. See, we've got to get past personality. God doesn't call us because we're perfect people. God doesn't anoint us because we've got every little thing together. And you know, everything in your mind that I should have together may not be everything that needs to be together in God's mind. Isn't that right? Amen. And so, the anointing, the New Testament anointing, it says that Jesus there could do no mighty work. So just see, whenever there's a gifting, we're getting ready for this conference. And Brother Tom's going to come. Listen, don't look to the person. Don't look to the person. His style may be different from mine. He may, you know, the way he teaches or preaches, it may be different from mine. He may not be as wild as I am. He may be more calm. He may be more wild. But get past all that and say, here's the thing. I want to recognize if there's an anointing there. And if there is an anointing on that person, then I want to learn to hook my faith up to the what? The anointing. You want to see more miracles? Hook up to the anointing. You want to receive more from the ministry gift, from your, whether it's your pastor or whoever it is? Hook up with the anointing. You want me to teach and preach better? Draw it out. Draw on the anointing. Remember the widow? We were just, not the widow, but remember the lady with the issue of blood we were talking about earlier? Remember it said that she heard about Jesus? What must she have heard? She must have heard what? He was anointed. See, everywhere Jesus went, that was the first thing he preached. I'm anointed. Because here's the thing. He said, the works I do, it's not me, but it's the Father in me. In other words, it's in the anointing that does it. So if we can learn to draw upon it and recognize it and draw upon that anointing, then we can receive what we need from God. Because if you're looking to me to do something for you, God help you. I can't even do something for myself. But the anointing can change your life. The anointing can impart truth. The anointing can bring forth the grace of God in your life for whatever it is that you need. And so we want to learn to draw upon the anointing. So this woman, she heard that he was anointed. And it says she pressed her way through the crowd. And she what? She touched. She just touched his clothes. My goodness. You remember when remember in the Old Testament? Let me flash back a minute to make a point here. Remember the Old Testament when there was a time when Israel was in battle and the enemy was pressing them. And a young man had been killed in battle and they didn't have time to bury him. And they just threw him over in the prophet's tomb. Remember that? Remember that? They threw him over there on the bone. I mean, there wasn't even no flesh left. I mean, the prophet had been buried so long, his bones was there. And as soon as he touched the bones, it said the man rose back up. Well, my goodness, if you can believe, believe that. If you can believe that a dead prophet's bones is anointed, surely you can believe that your pastor's anointed. That's right. If you can believe an anointing and some old bones, if God can use a bunch of old bones, he can use my bones. They still got a little something on them. See, it was the anointing. See, it wasn't. See, now, you know, some of us, we want to make a relic out of it. Man, bring them bones up here and we're going to worship it. No. There was a residue of that anointing that was still in it. This woman touched Jesus' clothes. Well, there wasn't something holy about his clothes, like some kind of relic. No, what? The clothes were on his body. He was anointed. That power was in his clothes. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. What did she just do? She set herself up to receive from the anointing that was on Jesus. Because Jesus, after she touched him and was made whole, Jesus said, who touched me? Remember what his disciples said? He said, Master, there's this big mob, a crowd around you, and they're all bumping, touching you, trying to get to you. What do you mean, who touched you? See, a lot of times, we're touched when hands are laid on us, and it's like the touch of the crowd. Nothing happens. Well, I guess the pastor just didn't have it this week. They were all bumping. You know they were trying to get, they'd heard about the miracles there. But see, when somebody in faith, one translation, really in the Greek, it literally means this. Jesus said somebody made a demand on my power. Somebody made a demand on my power. And see, what does that? Faith. Faith does that. If you can get past the personality, the humanity of whoever it may be that's ministering, and you can see the anointing and draw upon the anointing and engage your faith, I want to tell you what. Listen. You will get more. You will receive more. Amen. But you can sit out there and in the same meeting, I've had it happen. You've probably seen it too. In the same meeting, People, you know, two people come out and say, "Boy, glory to God, wasn't that great? Man, what a meeting, what a message, or what, man, wasn't that great?" Somebody said, "Well, I went to that meeting, man, I tell you, I couldn't hardly stay awake." They were in the same meeting. What's the difference? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? See, some people aren't hungry enough. You know? You're laying in there on the bed. And you start getting an appetite. You know what's going to happen? You ain't going to be able to stay in that bed. You're going to get up. You're going to go checking out the kitchen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is the kitchen. This is the kitchen. This is the kitchen where you can receive spiritual nourishment. Where you can receive from the anointing. And if you will engage your faith. Listen, church, I'm doing this to try to help you. I want to help you. Not just for me, but whoever we might have in. Or wherever, whatever meeting you might find yourself in. Where there's somebody that's called of God. Listen, and draw upon the anointing that's there. And when you do that, you know what? You're going to receive it. The Bible says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will what? Receive a prophet's reward. Isn't that right? Yeah. Well, what's a prophet's reward? Well, it could be what? Healing that you need. It could be a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge that you need. It could be an anointing that would flow forth from that ministry to set you free. It could be any number of things. Isn't that right? Well, the same thing's true. Whoever receives the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher, whatever the ministry is, whoever receives that ministry, okay, and recognizes it and recognizes that it's God called and there's an anointing there, then you move past the man. Some of y'all need to move past the man and get into the Spirit. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Let me read one more scripture and then we're going to get out of here. I think. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn over there. Ephesians 4. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean? But also, he descended into the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the universe. And it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Jesus has given gifts. And those gifts listed here, each one of those gifts have an anointing associated with them. And God calls whomever He wishes. There's the sovereignty of God. See, God didn't say, okay, church, vote on it. We're going to let you vote on it to see if this man is called or not. We're going to let you vote on it to see if this person, you know, is anointed or not. See, we get into that a lot in the church. No, the sovereignty is God's. It says God gave gifts unto men, didn't He? And He can give them to whoever He wants to because He's the head of the church, isn't He? But see, if we want the benefit, see, if we want the benefit. See, and the other side of this coin is, see, is if I am one of those that is called, whether it's you or me or whoever it is, when I recognize this, I realize this, I'm just like Jesus. Of my own self, I can do zero. Listen, if Jesus said in His own self He could do nothing, I must be in the negative column. But see, that makes me realize that I am totally dependent upon the anointing of the Spirit of God. That's why I told you when I came here, I said, I'm not going to build a program church. God didn't call me to be a CEO. Come on. I know, man, you go to some of the church leadership and seminar things, and I mean, it's they're trying to make a CEO, a Wall Street CEO out of you. Yeah, we wear a lot of hats, and I want to learn and grow, and I do, and I read and study and so forth. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not how God's going to build the church. He's going to build it by the anointing. And here's the thing, you will partake of it, what, when you recognize it and draw upon it by faith. Isn't that right? Anybody know anybody perfect? You ever met anybody perfect? I mean, and you know, I know Jesus, but he's not here except by the Spirit. Have you met anybody perfect yet? Have you heard of anybody that was perfect? We all probably all know somebody that thinks they are, but. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm getting at. See, God doesn't anoint, wait until he finds somebody perfect to anoint. We just got to get past that, church. I know there's some, you know, there's things about all of us that, you know, in the natural that just rub us the wrong way. You know, I got quirks. You got a couple yourself. Is that right? But can't we move past that? Past personalities, past our quirkiness, and say, you know what? I need the anointing. I need the anointing. That's why the Bible says one can put 1,000, but two, what? The anointing is multiplied, and 3, and 4, and 10, and 50, and 100, and 120. Wonder what the exponential is there. This is why, see, we need you, because you're anointed too. You may not be anointed to be an apostle or pastor or whatever, but you're anointed as a believer. And you need to operate in that anointing. And some of you, God may call you to do other things, and there'll be an anointing on you there, whether it's to worship or whether it's with ministering to the children or the youth or whatever it may be, but there'll be an anointing. And if we'll learn to draw upon that, I want to tell you what, this church will become all that God wants it to be. That's all I want. I don't care whether we're 30 or 3,000. That's God's business. I want us to be who God wants us to be. And that's going to be what? We draw upon the Spirit of God. We draw upon the anointing. We recognize that there's an anointing upon each one of us. You know, I don't have time to get into this fully because it's already getting late. But you know, the Bible teaches us, do not despise the anointing. See, this is another reason why, what? We cannot talk about one another. I cannot be critical of you. I cannot talk about you. I cannot talk about those in ministry. I cannot be critical of them. Why? Because of the anointing. See, because if we coming together causes the anointing to what? To triple, quadruple, and so forth, and a hundredfold. What does it mean when we are separated? It's got to mean what? It's diminishing. It's diminishing. Because strife does what? It separates. Anybody ever known strife to bring somebody together? It separates, doesn't it? Have any of you known that criticism has brought you close to somebody? What does it do? Remember, I told you about, you know, spiritual mathematics. God does what? God adds and multiplies. God adds and multiplies. The devil, what does what? Subtracts and. So if you look at what is taking place, or you think about before you speak, is this going to add? Is this going to multiply? Or is this going to subtract and divide? Then stuff it. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Sure. Why? Because we have respect to the anointing. Because the anointing is what God's going to use to build his body. The anointing is what God's going to use for us to reach the harvest. The anointing is there to meet the needs of your life. So, listen, when we come together during this conference and ongoing, whenever someone's here, whether it's myself or somebody else, let's be aware of the anointing of God's presence. See, this is another reason worship helps us. See, we're rendering unto God, but see, worship helps us to recognize the presence of God. The presence of God. Because the anointing is the Holy Spirit. isn't He? He is the anointing. Amen. When the Holy Spirit came on Jesus at Jordan, from that point on, what was He? Anointed. And you as a believer, the Holy Spirit came upon you, and you know what? You're anointed. You're anointed. So when we can learn to recognize the Holy Spirit, then we can draw upon His presence. And Paul said this. He said, we know no man after the flesh. He said, though we've even known Jesus after the flesh, we no longer know Him after the flesh. We know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? Amen, amen. Close your eyes, would you? Bow your heads just a moment.